We'll do it live.
Dude, we'll hell do it live.
All right, welcome to the fourth annual, fourth month, fourth weekly.
Actually, this is number three. L2 podcast.
Still clearly have a lot to learn. Welcome to the third podcast from STR Gamer. I'm Brian.
I'm Sam.
Good. And yeah, let's start with what we're geeking out about this week.
What are you geeking out about this
week? What am I geeking out about this week? I am feeling a distinct sense of ennui, which I don't think you can have a distinct sense of, but that's what I felt like saying, about video games this week. Just haven't felt like playing anything, any of the innumerable things that I have installed. I finally went back and reinstalled Dragon Age, the first one, intent on finishing that playthrough, or replaying through it to past the point where I had stopped before, if that makes any sense.
So, the listeners should probably know that the first time you played the first Dragon Age, you played through all of the Origins.
I did play through all the Origins.
Which are each of, like, you know, a good 5 hours or something.
Probably, that would probably explain why I've already shows that I played 61 hours.
But. God. And then you played through the whole, like, you, I don't know, you played through a bunch of it and then decided to...
I got through, like, the whole first part. Like, the first of the three things you have to do as the player character. I got stuck in the Shadow World, the Mage World thing.
The Fade.
Yeah. I got stuck in that part, and I was like, ah. Other than that, I'm super geeking out about Castle, the TV show on ABC. They're coming up on the season finale for the third season, and it's just super, super rad. The show is really well done.
Are they resolving anything between the characters?
There's a lot of really good interplay, yeah. So we have been promised, we being all the addicted fans of the show, we've been promised that there will be some resolution of some sort at the end of this season. So, two more episodes left. There's one tonight that I'll probably miss, but whatever. I'll catch it tomorrow. That's going to be super cool, so we'll see what happens.
And when does Nathan Fillion get a space blaster?
He always has a space blaster. He's got a part from Firefly in his office in the show.
Oh, really?
And he's constantly dropping references. Like, I just watched, because I went back and watched all existing Castle episodes over the last week instead of playing video games. And there's an episode in the second season where he talks in Chinese to this cook, and his partner's like, did you take a, you know, learn that in a course or something? And he's like, no, it's a TV show I used to love.
That's awesome.
It was not a reference I caught the first time I saw that episode, but I caught it this time, and it's super rad.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, they have the more obvious one where he's dressed up as Mal from Firefly, but that's a screen
answer. And his daughter is like, weren't you a space cowboy like 4 or 5 years ago for Halloween?
Yeah.
He's like, but I really like it. So that, today I spent all day watching Mythbusters episodes. That show is just really, really good.
Now, you've seen all these episodes.
I've seen all these episodes, yes.
But they're awesome?
They're awesome. Yeah, it's just fun to go back and see all the weird-ass things that they're testing. So I enjoyed that. It's, you know, it's like background noise for your brain, particularly if you've seen it already. But
yeah, it's a cool show.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. What have you been geeking out about this week?
Well, I've been playing. So I finished Dragon Age 2.
Ah, yes. The review is up on the site, right?
Yeah, the review is up on the site, and like we've been talking about, I mean, the only thing to add to the game, which is I really liked. You know, I thought it was really fun. There is some repetition in the design of the world and everything.
Some repetition. I mean, internet scuttlebutt has it being a lot of repetition.
Well, it depends on what you're doing. Like, if you're going through just the main story, which I probably, if you're playing that kind of game, you're not just trying to power through the main story, you know, so you are doing some of the side stuff. You may not, you know, feel that. You definitely will feel the repetition, but if you're doing the side quests, you'll feel a lot of repetition because you'll see, like, the same caves and the same, you know, sort of storylines going over, and the NPCs send you back to the same places and stuff, you know. And it feels sort of insular in that respect, but. And that definitely detracts from an otherwise really, really good game. But towards the end, it seems like, you know, the game's divided up in three acts, like you do. And towards the end of the third act, it just kind of dragged on a little bit longer than it needs to. And plus the difficulty, there's a difficulty spike, which is kind of like, if you haven't been paying attention to, like, you know, how to strategize or whatever, or if you haven't been, you know, building your characters. I mean, I basically... had all of my characters auto level except for my
really?
Except for my main character. Yeah. Well, there's so many to keep track of. I mean,
that's true. There's a lot of different characters in that game.
Yeah, there's like 8 or something companions you can have, and I like to interchange them a lot, just because I mean, hearing them banter among themselves is one of the most fun things about the game. And I like having a different balance of party members in different areas and depending on what the task is. So like just like manually leveling up each one of them without knowing enough about like in the earlier stages of the game, not knowing enough about how the different tiers work and what will be useful in the end game. Like I decided just to auto level them, and that seemed to work out fine. But my own character, I found like I was really trying to tailor towards doing a lot of damage because I was playing a rogue character and stuff.
And did that totally screw you from the end game?
No, I mean, what it did do was it you know, some skills I basically just phased out because I was like, this is not... I thought this would be useful at one point, but noticing the pacing of the combat and what's useful, like, I completely sort of went in a different direction with my character.
Yeah.
Which is cool, and it ended up, you know, the game ends, definitely has a great ending. I mean, no spoilers, but it's worth playing through.
I hear there's a big twist.
There is. Yeah, there is a couple moments where you're like, damn. You know, and there's a couple... that's another thing, too. I mean, as I've written about on the site, like, I'm pretty OCD, you know, in a lot of different ways. And with this game, games like this, like, where you can't get, like, the best ending or whatever. There's just, like, different endings, you know, that depending on the choices that you make. And so I have... you know, a bunch of different saves, because I'm like, well, I wonder if I take this path or if I save this to this character, you know, what will happen if I do that? And I basically doubled back a couple times and then found out that no matter what you do, you're going to get this result or whatever. And so, that definitely added probably like 5 to 10 hours on my game. But yeah, there's a big, it's pretty engaging, the story. And if you're a fan of the world fiction, it's pretty satisfying. But, I mean, it has its issues. I mean, I think we were talking earlier before the podcast about Mass Effect, which Mass Effect 3 got a postponed release date to sometime next year, beginning of next year, 2012. We can, you know, make stipulations, we can make ideas about why they're choosing to release it later, but... definitely, if they just need more time, I would love for them to take more time than that, than to rush it out the door the way that it seems that Dragon Age 2 was, because that would be terrible.
Yeah.
So finished that up, and then picked up Mortal Kombat, and we've been playing that a lot. I'm really digging the story mode to that game. I mean, it feels like a true successor, like, you know, Mortal Kombat 9. You know, it feels like a true successor to that game. Like, it's probably the best game that Mortal Kombat game since Trilogy. In my opinion, with the biggest and most fleshed out roster, I love the story mode. I mean, it's cheesy and it's cheap, just like everybody says. You know, like
some of the fights. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of the fights are just, you know, the AIs, the quintessential cheap like fighter AI, which I mean, I know Mortal Kombat is known for, but it totally taken me back to, playing those games on the Genesis, because the Super Nintendo mode only had sweat and no blood. Or like going to the arcade and stuff. And really liking that. I think it's probably one of the best story modes in a fighting game.
No, I think it's by far the best, probably.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with future things. But speaking of which, and on a somewhat unrelated, you should remind me to show you Dong Dong Must Die. Yeah.
Okay.
The Giant Bomb live show last week. It's a totally ridiculous fan made fighting game, which I can't explain, but is ridiculous.
It's not the one with all the different characters from other games, right? With like Master Chief and
no.
Okay.
No. In any case,
so you recommend readers to or listeners to. Yeah, Dong Dong Must Die.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you're not a Whiskey Media member, you won't be able to watch the live show. But yeah, Google Dong Dong Must Die or Live or something like that. And probably want to have your safe search on when you do that.
Search off and just search for Dong Dong.
No, don't do that. Nothing good will happen if you do that. But yeah, it's super ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
You know, you fight as a pair of twins who are like conjoined twins. and it's insane.
What?
Yeah.
You know, the other only other fighting game I can think that this had like a comparable story is the BlazBlue or BlazBlue.
BlazBlue.
That was a really very intricately told storyline that you had to play with different characters to like.
Yeah.
But it was also really kind of hard to grasp everything.
That game was ridiculous.
That game was ridiculous.
It's on sale on Xbox Live for $20.
I think I just sold it, the game.
Nice. And geeking out about anything else?
Yeah, so I've also been playing Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. Right. Yeah, and being a big comic book nerd from back in the day, it's very, very gratifying. One of my favorite games for the Sega Genesis is Spider-Man Maximum Carnage, which took the Maximum Carnage story arc and like had, you know, through a bunch of the Carnage type villains against Spider-Man. And I think you could play as Venom in it as well, but I can't remember. Definitely you could in the follow-up game, which is called Separation Anxiety, but that wasn't as good. And they haven't been able to, like, seem to have been able to make a good Spider-Man game since then, but Beenox definitely has, like, the game has its issues, like, it's, some of the fighting is repetitive and stuff, but it's got a really sort of fun aspect to it, and it works, you know. The camera is brutal when you're trying to, like, crawl on walls and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just spins around and you can't see, you know, up from down and stuff.
Seems like it'd be kind of important to get that right in a Spider-Man game.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, like, you do more web swinging and jumping around than wall crawling, if that makes sense. But it's cool because, like, when you go from as you probably know, there's four different Spider-Mans, in the game. And when you go from each of the different, you know, realms to the other, the game is very different. So, like, I've never really looked into Spider-Man Noir, but it's a very, very cool sort of mythos, and it's very stealth-oriented, and the rules are very different than, like, Spider-Man 2099, which also, like, I used to read that back in the day, and I never thought it was that cool, but the game reminded me of why it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's the genius of transmedia.
Yeah, definitely.
You playing this game makes you more interested in these other alternate Spider-Man arcs, so...
Yes, must buy everything.
Yeah, right. I just saw Thor last night, there's a omnibus edition of all of the Thor from 1983 to 1987,
mm-hmm.
which is 1,200 pages long.
Oh my God.
It's $125, so I'm not going to get it, but I would really like to read it for some reason. Apparently, in one of the issues, Thor turns into a frog and defeats a bunch of rats in Central Park. Comic books.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm generally into comic book omnibuy, but...
Yes. Never say that word again.
Why?
Because it's terrible.
That's awesome.
It's terrible.
I'm also reading, among other things, the Jim Butcher Dresden Files books, which I think I mentioned last week. And
yeah.
Those just continue to become more awesome.
Yeah.
You've read all of them in the series, right?
I have read all of them. I didn't give you mine. You have.
You did, and I gave them back to you.
Because I've got them all sitting here. I was like, how is he reading them if I have them?
Yes. No, I am purchasing them.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, they're worth a purchase.
Yeah. Are you going to sneeze?
Trying desperately not to.
Sneeze away from the recording device.
Yes. Those are super cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
See anything interesting in the news this week? Other than Sony getting reamed by...
Yeah, Sony is totally screwed by their PlayStation Network stuff. In gaming news, IGN and 1UP are merging.
That's pretty huge.
Which is interesting. Well...
I mean, it would have been huger like 6 months ago or before they did all those layoffs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, the people at IGN, there's enough ex-1UP people there that I'm... Sure, they don't want to just close it down. They're not going to do that.
But, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that works out. I foresee a clash of cultures.
Very different.
Yes.
Very different sites.
But yeah, other than that, Sony and then that merger.
Yeah, it's pretty big stuff. What do you think about that? We were talking earlier about the Mass Effect... I mean, there's so much stuff coming out right now. I mean, L.A. Noir is coming out, The Witcher's coming out. I mean, a ton of other stuff is coming out right now. And then there's a huge release season in the in the fall and the winter season.
Basically everything from now on, everything is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Infamous 2, that's what comes out May 24th. Comes out right before E3.
Oh, yeah. It comes out on the... I thought it came out on the day of E3.
The first day of E3. So that's the next week. So yeah, I don't know what comes out. Twisted Metal? Something. Something comes out on the 24th.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and every just, week it's going to have a tentpole release from now on.
And they just revealed the new Assassin's Creed installment.
Yeah.
For September, October, November? December is Christmas time.
Yes. Yes, it is. It'll be later this year. I mean, it can't be that... It's not going to be September. It'll be...
Yeah, November.
October at the earliest. November is probably more likely.
Yeah, but, I mean, in any case, like them... I mean, I've said this before, pushing Mass Effect 3 back, I'm actually kind of relieved about that, because so much stuff is coming out.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm relieved, I'm just, you know, nonplussed by it. It's just, alright, that's more good, I mean, just like happened this year, where a bunch of stuff got pushed out of holiday season last year into the early part of this year, making the early part of this year the best early part of the year ever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with that, there will be plenty to play.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if Mass Effect came out at the same time as Skyrim, for example, for me...
That presents a significant problem for you.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play Skyrim.
Yeah, you're going to disappear when Skyrim comes out.
My God, I mean, like...
You're going to need a new computer. Or it's coming out on 360, so the hell with it.
It is coming out on 360. But I don't know. I've been thinking about that, like, whether to... I have to, like... Like, part of me wants to wait and see, like, you know, what people say about the two versions and stuff, and the other part of me is like, dude, I need to have that game, like...
Always. As quickly as possible.
I mean, I've said this before, like, other than MMOs, Morrowind is probably the game that I've sunk the most hours into. And Oblivion less so, simply because it was, like, a smaller game than Morrowind.
Yeah.
And I didn't even finish the Morrowind
Nobody did. Quest. I can't tell you the number of people who, while talking about Skyrim, have been like, yeah, I never closed any of those fucking portals.
Oh, really? In Oblivion?
Yeah.
Because I definitely played through Oblivion.
Yeah, they just didn't care.
Oh, interesting.
But they did all the rest of the side quests.
Yeah, dude, that game is going to be so awesome.
We'll see. The stuff that's coming out looks pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to move into talking about some E3?
Yeah, so, E3's coming up. Do you have any predictions of things that we're going to see? Or
Nintendo's going to announce a new console.
We know that for sure.
Nintendo's going to announce a new console, and Sony and Microsoft will do what they can to take thunder away from that, but I don't think they have anything in their quivers that will have quite the same impact, although I'm not sure that the impact of the new Nintendo console is going to be that great.
I don't know. I mean, we talked about it a lot last week. I mean, I think that really remains to be seen, but did they say it's going to be playable?
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, Nintendo has spent more on R&D in the last 3 years than anybody else.
Yes.
So they. I'm not surprised at all that it's going to be playable.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, they've been making money hands over fist anyway.
What would be awesome is if it was playable and coming out that week.
Yeah.
If they pull a Dreamcast, that would be awesome.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
Was it Dreamcast or Saturn? I think it was Dreamcast.
Saturn is made by Sega.
I know, but I'm talking about, you know, because they famously announced launched on the same day.
I think that was the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any case,
I love Dreamcast.
I had an 8-bit Nintendo. I didn't have a video game console again until I had my N64.
Really?
Yeah.
Just you're playing PC games or what?
Playing Mac games. Yeah. Oh. I didn't even have a PC then.
Oh wow.
But yeah. So I don't know. You know, we'll get more details about Call of Duty and. I don't even know what from Sony. Well, Sony. If the current rumor, although nobody has actually said this, well, it was reported as having been said, but nobody can confirm it, is that PlayStation Network isn't going to be back up till May 31st.
Yeah.
Which, if that's the case, they have to talk about it at their press conference.
I think they have to talk about it regardless. I mean, too many people have been affected by it for them to not make some sort of statement or.
Yeah, but I think if it's down till May 31st, it has to be a centerpiece of their presentation. Whereas if it was fixed like this week, they could just kind of mention it and then move on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Other than, you know, talking about that, I mean, obviously they're going to showcase like Uncharted, things like Resistance and that sort of thing. But I hope they reveal some more details about the NGP. I would love to see more stuff about that. I mean, I'm totally into the NGP. Like, that's, I'm usually you know, in terms of console adopting consoles, like I'm usually a later adopter just because I wait till prices go down and there's always stuff coming out for current generation consoles and whatever. But that's like, depending on the price point, which is probably going to be too high anyway.
Astronomical.
Depending on the price point. I could totally see myself being an early adopter for that.
I don't think you're going to be. I think the price point is going to be insane.
I think it'll be like 400 plus.
I think it's going to be PS3 level insane.
My God.
Sony, we pretty much know what Sony has coming out the rest of the year. We don't see a lot of Microsoft first-party projects, so I'm guessing they're going to talk about Halo and whatever 343 is doing
for Halo. I mean, that's possible. I mean, Bungie, who obviously is not doing Halo anymore, they said that they're not to expect anything from them.
Right.
But
Microsoft, they needed some kind of first-party thing because they are flagging, at least compared to PlayStation.
They've been kind of milking the Gears 3 beta.
Well, that's the most visible thing that they have right now, and that's emblematic of the
The only visible thing that they have, other than Kinect.
Kinect, they better show a bunch of Kinect titles, because otherwise...
Yeah, maybe Child of Eden. Is that coming out soon, or...?
I don't know when that's coming out. I don't care about it at all, but I know some people do, so...
Well, that's been, like, the sort of gaming media...
It's the hardcore Kinect game, yeah.
Quote-unquote, I mean...
Quote-unquote, exactly.
But I could see them doing some Kinect stuff. I mean,
I think they have to.
And Sony maybe will do some Move stuff too. But yeah, I don't know. I think definitely Nintendo has got a good lead in that department.
They're going to dominate the news at E3, I think. Which can swing both ways. You know, if that presentation goes badly, that's all anybody's going to talk about E3, and that will be real bad for them. They will wish that Sony and Microsoft had more to talk about then.
Yeah, but I mean, knowing Nintendo, they will have at least something that people will talk about. I mean, if they talk about the controller. By the way, have you seen that a fan-modded controller that they like basically took they modded a GameCube controller? So that it looks like and plays like with a screen what the Project Cafe or stream or whatever they're
what the rumored controller looks like for that. Yeah,
that's people are awesome.
People are insane,
man.
Yeah.
And then probably they'll do some 3DS stuff with.
Yeah, probably. Although I don't. Yeah, I suppose. They do need to talk about 3DS stuff. And they need to give people a better idea of when Zelda and Icarus and things like that are hitting. I mean, with the announcement of the new console, they can't talk too much about 3DS because they don't want to take attention away from Project Cafe or Stream or whatever.
Yeah, but they definitely have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. You know, Nintendo's press conferences are always sort of interesting. If they can avoid a debacle like the Skyward Sword thing last year, then that'll be good.
Yeah, well, they'll probably show Skyward Sword again. Maybe a release date, I don't know.
Yeah, that's...
You figure they got us... Well, depending on what kind of demo they show with the new console, they've got to give some sort of indication to a release lineup. You know, even if it's just like, you know, we're going to have a Mario game, which I mean, is obvious, but it's going to be something like this, or even if they say, and this is pretty obvious to me that they would probably do something like this, you know, there will be a release of Skyward Sword on this new system in HD or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough call. You know, they're so far off in release date, it's like, well, we're going to talk about this. I mean, they've unless they launch the new console before E3 next year, they have to have something to present at E3 next year before this console comes out. So to talk about a release lineup, that already kind of bit them on the ass for the 3DS, where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, Zelda and Icarus are going to be, you know, launch titles, and then they became launch window titles, and now nobody knows when the hell they're coming.
Yeah.
And it's like, meh. But, you know, people are willing to forgive Nintendo a lot. They've won back some amount of... They certainly have won over the casual audience, and the hardcore game press is willing to give them a, you know, a certain amount of leeway. But, you know, if they don't really stress the hardcore gamer in this presentation... You know, I mean, they already lost me, but, you know, I suspect a lot of the gaming press will be very disappointed if they don't make some waves in that general direction.
What about individual publishers? What do you think we'll see from them?
I don't know. You know, the big guys, you know, we're not going to see anything from Valve. We're not going to see anything from Bungie, obviously. I'm not going to see anything from Blizzard. So, because all those people, except for Valve, and Valve pretty much does their own thing, you know, both Blizzard and Blizzard does its own conference. You know? Yeah. They do
BlizzCon.
BlizzCon, so...
although they did just announce that the Diablo 3
beta is going to start, yeah. Yeah, and if they could dovetail that, you know, Activision certainly will talk a lot about that. And if they can find a way to leverage that at the show, I'm sure they will. But, you know, Blizzard, they know that they don't need to necessarily do that, so...
Yeah, I think maybe we might see some cool stuff from Bethesda.
Could be. I mean, they've got a full slate this year. They got a lot. They got a lot of stuff to show, but I find it hard to believe they're going to announce anything new.
I mean, no, I don't think they'll announce anything, but they may show some new stuff.
We'll see from, some more Skyrim stuff. From we'll Rage. See. We'll see. Skyrim. Yeah, we'll see some Rage stuff. Yeah, when I forget when Duke's release date is.
Yeah,
May.
Sometime now.
Is it May?
You know what else is coming out? The Witcher 2.
That's right.
That game is going to be awesome.
Yes.
When does Deus Ex come out? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit coming out.
Everything.
Yeah.
Also, have you seen anything about the new Dungeon Siege game?
I watched a Giant Bomb quick look of it, and it looked like Dungeon Siege.
Which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. It didn't make me feel like, oh, this is a day one purchase for me, mm-hmm. but it's something I'll definitely look at. You know, it's, I liked Dungeon Siege, and I really liked Dungeon Siege 2. That game really, really got me with its loot and things like that, so if Dungeon Siege 3 can come close to that, then I'm in at, you know, some price point to be determined later.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if we'll see anything more about, Ubisoft's, rhythm, their new rhythm game. I can't remember what it's called. It's a new music game that is basically supposedly more fully featured in terms of learning how to play music
and
plugging your guitar in.
Yeah, they might talk about that. I don't know. It's the rhythm genre is a tough one right now, and they maybe see it as an opportunity to bring some new blood into the space.
Yeah, revitalize the genre.
I don't think that's the case. I think they're misapprehending the audience for that sort of thing.
Well, maybe. I mean, the thing that I mean, obviously, like, I love Rock Band and stuff, knowing what happened with the Guitar Hero franchise and how that basically beat a dead horse, I'm still interested in this one, simply because, like, I'm a huge fan of, obviously, music and music games, but, like, I've wanted something that I can just plug my guitar into and play something and see if, you know, that works or, like, you know, play along or whatever, in a way that I don't have to buy a specific guitar that works with it.
Well, you can do that with Rock Band 3. You just have to buy the MIDI adapter, and you'll have to buy something similar to the Ubisoft game, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. But that's not really integrated into the software the same way that it seems that the new Ubisoft. I mean, we don't know enough about it. But,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Rock Band 3 is. They've created their own notation. You know, you can change it to something more like Tab. But, you know, I don't know enough about it, about how to play guitar to evaluate it. But it seems like Rock Band 3 stole Ubisoft's thunder on that.
Yeah.
Whether they saw that coming or not, whether maybe they're already too far down the production line to stop. But it just seems like this might have seemed like a good idea in the past. But now, with one other competitor in the space, I don't think you need more than that, you know, particularly when you're going up against somebody like Harmonix.
Yeah.
It just seems unwise. But we'll see, you know. Competition is good, I suppose.
I'm interested to see if we see anything from any of the MMO developers that we're big fans of at E3.
When does Terra release?
Terra releases sometime this year. Hmm. I mean, I think definitely we'll see more Star Wars The Old Republic stuff.
Meh. Giant meh.
Yeah, that's probably going to be geared towards people like us who think it's meh.
Better be. And it better not just be another damn cool-ass, you know, cinematic cutscene trailer.
Because they're cool.
They're super cool, but they all have nothing to do with gameplay.
Yeah.
So I just, I need to see a lot from that game to care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Terra definitely is coming out soon.
Yeah, I mean, sometime this year. Whatever that game for 38, the 38 Studios game, it's got a stupid-ass name. Can't remember it. It's anyway.
What's the genre?
It's a fantasy MMO. like Terra. And I don't know when that's coming out, so okay. But we'll see more. We'll see more about that because they've announced it now. They spent 2 years talking about it without ever announcing it, but I can't remember the name of it. Well,
have you seen anything for The Secret World?
No, I haven't seen anything.
That game looks really cool. It might be up your alley. It's sort of like urban fantasy and modern in a modern setting.
Oh right, we talked about that a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I expect that there's a lot of interesting things that can be done in the MMO space, and we're going to start seeing the fruits of the rush to invest in MMO developers from like 3 years ago. You'll notice there aren't a lot of people investing in that space anymore. So this crop needs to produce some winners, otherwise, you know, we're going to end up with a real oligarchy of several powerful players and nobody else.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what if they show anything more about Guild Wars 2, ArenaNet, and NCSoft. Man, I mean, because I am just so excited for that game. That game looks really awesome. And, like, anything that they release, I'd totally just, you know, eat it up. I'm interested to see if Turbine releases any more gameplay or probably the gameplay would be the same, but any more information about their next expansion. The Road to Isengard, I think it's called.
Lotro, the MMO, we just can't quit.
Dude, because it's so good and it's so well made.
It is very, very good, but...
So I forgot to mention that I started playing Lotro again, and they change a lot of the epic quests, the main story quests in the Moria volume so that they're more easily soloable, and so you don't need to have a group. And I've had, even though I'm... past the Moria content, like, I've had, you know, this...
Like you do.
Yeah, I've had this quest. I still have a Volume 1, like...
So do I. I totally... It's probably the same damn quest.
Yeah, it's just, it's you know, gray or whatever. And I had a Moria book quest just chilling in my log, because I'm like, I've looked for a group, you know, sometimes and haven't been able to find one. And when they changed the quest, like, it took it out of my quest log. So I'm like...
Now where do I go?
Who is this person that I was talking to, like, you know, last year sometime when I was playing through that content? So, you know, I went onto the lore book and, like, you know, looked around different places, found who it might be, like, ran back in Moria, having no idea, like, where I was going, what I was doing, remembering, oh, yeah, there's that place and this place or whatever. And
Moria is an easy place to get lost in.
Oh, yes. I mean, horizontally as well as vertically. I mean,
yeah,
well,
that's, yeah.
Amazingly laid out, confusingly. So I find the guy that I'm supposed to look for, this dwarf in this place called the Peaceful Path. I think his name is Broen. And I go and talk to him, and I'm like, great, I got this quest. What? Like, I was like, I don't remember what I was doing. Like, I remember some of these names and, like, what the person was and stuff like that. But now I think it's, like, a personal instance or something. So I need to just do it and, like, figure out what I'm doing. So
yep, it's a great game, but I was amazed when last time I jumped into it a couple days ago, they've totally revamped the UI.
Yeah,
so I was looking around and going, what the hell, whoa, where's all my stuff?
They keep adding features to it. I mean, like, since we were playing, like, hardcore, there's, like, a new task system, like, mm-hmm. they've totally changed the way that you can interact with bards, like, to
oh man,
what are the talents, I think they're called?
Virtues, and there's so many damn parts to that game. It's insane. I don't know how anybody coming to the game brand new could possibly understand.
Yeah, there's got to be a primer out there somewhere or whatever.
Yeah, you're making me want to play Lotro again.
Dude, it's awesome.
Must play Dragon Age first. All right, well, so if that's it for this week, we'll sign off there. Probably go play Mortal Kombat. I'll kick your ass some more.
Bring it. I'll take you down.
And then we'll be back.
Your soul is mine.
Your soul is mine. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of the Giant Podcast.
I'm pretty sure even that's trademarked.
I don't know. I don't think those guys trademark anything.
So you can check us out on Twitter.
I'm Brian Whip. Spelled Brian WB.
I'm Sominator. Spelled the way that sounds. And
the stupid way.
The awesome way. And you can always check out our stuff at strgamer.blogspot.com.
Yes, excellent. We'll be back, whether you want us or not.